It is Thursday, July 12th, and you are listening to the Aaron Eich Podcast. Yeah, so here I am again, another episode, another exciting day for the Aaron Eich Podcast. I have a couple of things, not literally, but I don't have very much. I have to admit that I don't have a tremendous amount of material prepared, but I figured, what the heck, I would record another podcast because it's been a little while. I hope that you have listened to episode 7, which was a special episode I did with my brother about Saturday morning cartoons, and I hope that it was enjoyable. I got no feedback about it, and that's probably because no one's listening to it, but I don't mind that. I kind of do this just for me. And I have to admit, I was just thinking about this as I was getting the intro music set up, that the whole idea of podcasting to me is just mildly scary, that, you know, someone might actually listen to this, someone that I don't know. So far, the people that I know that listen to my podcast are my brother, occasionally my wife, Heichel, my friend Bill, and I'm out of people to count. I don't even know if those people always listen to the podcast. I just know that I've gotten feedback occasionally from them, and that's really nice. So if you are listening to the podcast, please send me a note. Tell me that I'm doing well. Nothing but positive feedback is exactly what I'm looking for. So I'm just kidding. You can send whatever kind of feedback you want, and maybe it'll make my podcast a little bit better. Still working with awesome Logitech microphone, which is not awesome at all. Picks up a lot of sound. I have for a long time been contemplating getting a new microphone, and I don't, you know, I'm not sure that I do this often enough that I can justify that. But that said, I, you know, for a long time, like I said, I've been thinking about getting a new microphone. So if you happen to do podcasting, or you happen to know a lot about microphones, or you don't, but you have a recommendation anyway, I am definitely open to it. I've been contemplating the idea of instead of going with a USB microphone, going with an actual, like just a condenser microphone with an XLR output, and getting an actual mixer and having the mixer run sound into my Mac. And that's crazy. But I don't know. I don't know about that idea. I don't know if I'm ready to dedicate that amount of energy and effort into something that I only do occasionally. But maybe, just maybe, I will take advantage of that opportunity and do this a little bit more. So next up on our list is a little break. And as always, I like to be a little mysterious about the breaks and then talk about whatever they are afterwards. So I'm going to do my best to find what I'm thinking of, and then we will get to our first segment. That's very meta, isn't it? Like, I don't think podcasts are supposed to talk about going to the segment. I think they're just supposed to do it. So I'll be back after this.
What do you think?
Have you ever tasted Crystal Pepsi?
No, actually I haven't. It doesn't really taste like Pepsi.
What do you think?
What do I do? Just take a sip? It's hard to explain. It's just...
It isn't anything like California white wine.
I'm embarrassed here.
What's it like?
It's a nice lemony zing taste.
What do you think?
It's not as heavy.
Less syrupy.
I'm sweating. I love it. It's refreshing.
Clear taste.
It's different. Would you like to take a bath in it?
Hey!
Seriously.
What do you think?
What do you think about Crystal Clear Pepsi? Do you remember Crystal Clear Pepsi? I barely do. I think I look at pictures on the internet and decide that I remember it. I know that I've had it. I have to... So here's the confession of the week. I'm a huge soda fan. I like fizzy bubbles in some sort of liquid. And it's... So, you know, I've tried... you know, I need to also caveat that I'm a hugely like picky eater, and so I haven't like tried out a lot of sodas, but I do enjoy it. And when I was a kid, of course, I was very excited. You know, I think Crystal Clear Pepsi was introduced probably when I was, you know, 12 or 13. And so it was a very exciting kind of thing. And I used to ride my bike to the store all the time to, you know, get, I don't know, candy, soda, things. You know, when you have some spending money, that's what you do. Or that's what I did as a kid. I didn't save it up for anything practical, not for several years anyway. And so anyway, I remember having that. I don't really remember what it tasted like, but I've been contemplating this for a while, and I actually did this the Mystery Lost episode of the Aaron Ike podcast, episode 2, I think. 2 was the one that I did but never released. I had this, I decided to introduce this segment where I just taste a soda for the first time, like I've never tasted it before. And it was going to be great and brilliant and very interesting to sort of experiment, quote-unquote, live. And so I thought I'd bring that back. The first segment I did was with Jones Soda Bubblegum Soda, which was an interesting sort of flavor. And it did actually taste like bubblegum taste, which is a flavor, strangely enough. Bubblegum is by its own virtue, I don't know. It's bubblegum is its own flavor, and I find that kind of interesting because we make gum flavored by other thing like other things, but there's also a bubblegum flavor. So anyway, I have it in front of me. Obviously, I could not get Crystal Clear Pepsi, or at least not for a lot of money. And even if I could, I'm not sure that I want to drink it. I mean, you know, that would have been sitting in a bottle for what, 15 years. That's a lot. Almost 20. Wow. That's pretty significant. So, and that's not, I mean, you know, like you need, if you don't know, okay, so soda comes in plastic bottles, in aluminum cans, and it comes occasionally in glass bottles if you can find it. And all of these containers are, of course, stored under pressure. When if it were like a can of orange juice is not stored under pressure, basically, at least as far as I know, you know, essentially it's just, you know, whatever air is in there, and it's just sealed in, and it's not that big of a deal. Because soda contains carbonation, it's stored under pressure, and the CO2 is constantly reacting against a bottle. And, you know, it may not seem like it when you pick up a bottle of soda in a plastic bottle, but there is constant slow leakage of CO2. And that means that if you leave a plastic bottle of soda, just sitting long enough, it will collapse in on itself because all that CO2 will have escaped. This isn't the case with glass bottles. So that's why it's valuable to buy your soda in glass or in aluminum, because they don't leak. Not that you really want to drink an old soda anyway. And I just made myself sound like, you know, some sort of soda connoisseur that, you know, knows all this stuff about soda. I don't. I drink Diet Coke is my go-to soda, and I'm pretty happy with it. But I do sort of enjoy the experiment, which is why I'm going to drink this now. So this is, like I said, this is not Crystal Clear Pepsi, but this is something new that Pepsi came out with called Pepsi Next. And if you pay attention, soft drink companies go through a regular process of introducing new beverages. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like, you know, Pepsi and Diet Pepsi and Diet Coke and Coke and all these different sodas have been around for forever, and you know, that's they just kind of hang out and go, you know, stick around forever. But soda companies do introduce regularly new sodas. I think I was looking at the Crystal Clear Pepsi ad and noticed and kind of found amusing that Pepsi did release a number of sort of clear sodas. They had Pepsi Blue and I think Pepsi Red for a little while, much more recently than 1993. But right now they have Pepsi Next, which is a Pepsi that is 60% less sugar than regular Pepsi. And I don't know how they accomplished that. I'm looking at the ingredients list, and it looks pretty much the same. I have to warn you, I don't have regular Pepsi here to compare against. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I thought I'd do it, you know, once again, live on air, so you could have that experience of experiencing it really with me. So we're going to give it a shot. Here we go. It smells like Pepsi. It tastes like Pepsi, I think. It's not bad. It's pretty dang good. This is a 20-ounce bottle that I'm holding. It's pretty good. It says, so I think on the typical bottle like this, you see, I don't know, probably 100 calories or so. Maybe a little bit more. No, I'm sorry. So, like, a regular bottle of Pepsi would probably have 240 calories in a 20-ounce bottle. I think this is only 100 calories in the bottle. Although I don't know. This is 60% less sugar. I don't know if that translates to 60% less calories. It's a pretty good flavor. I had this story that I wanted to tell that's kind of sort of related to this. I shop occasionally at Albertsons, and in the Albertsons, there's this promotional display of Pepsi in 20-ounce cans, I think they're 20 ounces. Might be 24-ounce cans. That's pretty big for a soda can. And it's a Michael Jackson themed can, and it's like the limited edition Pepsi King of Pop, and I've walked past this thing like three or four times, and it wasn't until just the other day when I was talking to my wife Heichel, I said, you know, I paused for a moment and I realized that. I realized the pun, that Pepsi is selling a King of Pop soda can, promoting Michael Jackson as the King of Pop and themselves as the King of Soda Pop. And I just sort of laughed to myself in this, you know, little fit of giggles, because I hadn't caught it. I walked past that. I even thought about buying one, and but there's no point. Like, I'm not going to collect soda. But it's a King of Pop. So there you go. I found that rather amusing. Depending if I get some feedback, you know what? Even if I don't get feedback, I'm going to do this again, because I can't count on you people for feedback. Because what, there are two of you? Three of you? If you have feedback to provide, I would love to receive feedback about this, I don't know what to call it, soda taste test or something like that. Pepsi Next turned it out to be a win. It was a good one. I think we'll go for it again. Well, no, that's not true. I'm not going to drink this again, because I tend to avoid sodas with calories at all, because it's just kind of empty calories. It's not very you know, it's mildly fun to drink, but it doesn't, it's only going to pack on the pounds, if you know what I mean. So I probably won't have this again, but not out of disgust. After a brief break, we'll talk about something else interesting.
Mr. Danza, we're down 24-0. You gotta play for us.
Yeah, we're desperate.
Everybody's got a desire, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It's gonna be a tough fight. So give yourself the greatest taste.
Would you like a diet, right? It's salt-free.
I know it's salt-free.
He knows it's salt-free. His mind's alert. His body's shot.
Everybody's got a diet, right?
Diet Right is it's another one of those sodas I've actually had quite a lot recently. There's a chain of restaurants out here called McMiniman's. They run a bunch of bars and pubs and they have really fantastic food, but the diet soda they serve is Diet Right, along with RC Cola, I think is the full syrup sugary soda. I don't know what to call like regular sodas. I was looking specifically for like something like a little jingle or something I could share. It was completely unrelated to this. But when I couldn't find it, I decided instead to share something about Tony Danza because I have a funny Tony Danza story. And when I say Tony Danza story, I say Tony Danza is the subject of this story, but doesn't really have that much interaction in it. My wife and I got married in a city called Manti, Utah. We, on our drive down, because we both lived up in the Salt Lake Valley, drive down, there's this little city called Mona, M-O-N-A. And every time we passed it, I think it would come to my mind, it would call to my mind, who's the boss? Because you think of Tony Danza with, you know, sort of his drawn out Brooklyn accent, you know, when he's expressing, that was just sort of his caricature. Mona, Angela, Samantha. So I always thought of that. Anytime we drive past Mona. And on our wedding day, we happened to be driving down, and we saw the sign, and we started making jokes about it because, you know, it's a good hour or two down to Manti. And so we would make the drive down. We were making jokes like that, and we started to wonder. This is 2007. We thought to ourselves, where is Tony Danza these days? Because, you know, he was kind of a big star back in the 80s and the 90s, and he just kind of disappeared. And so I have a friend of mine, Tony Toscano, is a film critic. He lives out in Utah in the Salt Lake area. He has his own show, Talking Pictures. There's your plug, Tony. TalkingPicturesTV.tv. TalkingPictures.tv. Is the website. He's a great guy. Tony kind of has a finger on the pulse of Hollywood at all times, and he walks into our reception, and we say, "Hey, how's it going?" And then the next thing we say to him is, "Whatever happened to Tony Danza?" And he paused, and he looks at us, and he says, "That's a funny question to ask on your wedding day." And indeed it was. We, just one of those funny things, you know. But I think the thing that reminded me of that recently, was that we had some guests over to dinner recently, and, they're quite young, they're, in their early 20s, and, we were telling you what this, one of these young men happens to be from Mona, Utah, and, he mentioned that, and so we tell this story. This is the second time we've told this story to someone from Mona, or from around Mona or something like that. And we bring up Tony Danza, and they have no idea who we're talking about. which is no idea at all, completely off their radar. And I think it doesn't seem to me like that should be the case. Like, it seems to me that, you know, I'm 32, so I don't feel like I'm that much older than a 20-year-old. But I guess 12 years is a lot. I guess I don't feel that far removed from being 21, 22. It seems to me like these kids should know who Tony Danza is. Dang it. You should know. It's Tony Danza. So in a completely unrelated thing, what I was looking for a clip of Casey Kasem or something Casey Kasem-ish related. And if you don't know, this is another thing. If you don't know who Casey Kasem is, he is probably, at least, you know, for my childhood, sort of my youth, and I think a lot of people, would recognize his voice. He's probably one of the most famous voices in broadcast history. I don't know if someone locked their car. There was a car horn. I've got the window open because it is 82 degrees in my podcast recording room, which is also my office, which is also my workshop. It's 82 degrees in here, so I got the window open. And inevitably, we are just going to hear noises from the outside. Anyway, so Casey Kasem was a DJ and a voice actor. I think people skip over that. Think of Casey Kasem was responsible for the top 40 for years. And when I say years, I really think like decades. He was on the radio quite a bit. And a lot of people don't know that he was a voice actor. If you know Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And I think the one I'm more familiar with is... Cliff Jumper from Transformers. Transformers, one of my favorite all-time shows. Sometime I'll talk about that in a podcast episode. But the reason that he came to mind was I was listening to Will Wheaton's podcast, Radio Free Burrito, an older episode. And he had this clip of Casey Kasem doing this recording. And they were doing the recording, and Casey just kind of starts to flip out. He's reading this letter for a dedication about someone whose dog died. And Casey gets really upset because as they were coming off the record was, I guess, something upbeat. And you get this personality that you just do not expect out of someone like Casey Kasem. You sort of forget that these people are sort of regular people and get upset by things. And it has some foul language in it, which is why I didn't include the clip itself. But it's sort of an interesting peek into the world of someone who's otherwise so public. You don't very often catch those things, and I think, you know, we put those things up on the internet because we have sort of shocking, and the same part of our brain that's stimulated by gossip is stimulated by this idea that someone who has that sort of standing in our brain could also be human and also make, sort of have that side of them. We never see that. The same thing, I remember when I was younger, a friend of mine had recorded onto an audio cassette. You can look that up on Wikipedia, kids. Audio cassette tape. I had on this cassette tape these various takes from the actors who did the voices for Thundercats, the original Thundercats. There was, just sort of foul language and flubs and that kind of thing. I remember it was like so exciting to have a piece of that, to listen to those actors, swear and, you know, be upset about, you know, normal things that, you know, make people upset. It's also, you know, between the Casey Kasem thing and this Thundercats thing, I'm reminded and I sort of remember that, you know, I probably wouldn't actually want to work in the entertainment industry just because it's, you know, it's high stress. It can be a rough gig. The thing about Casey Kasem, the other random thing that I know about Casey Kasem is, like I said, he provided some voices for Transformers. And I remember something you should know about Casey Kasem. This is something you should know. This is a random factoid that doesn't make much of a difference, but it's something to know. Casey Kasem is Arab American. I think he's Armenian. I don't remember. And if I were a responsible podcast host, I would look that up right now. And I was entirely wrong. Casey Kasem was born in Detroit, Michigan. His parents are Lebanese, I think. But anyway, here's the story. This is what I heard. What I heard when I say what I heard, what I mean is what I read on the internet. Therefore, it must be true. Casey Kasem provided a couple of voices on Transformers, and when he... they got to season 3, and in season 3, the writers had chosen to create a villain who was, sort of the typical Middle Eastern dictator. Casey Kasem found that incredibly offensive because the character was sort of rolled into all those stereotypes that you would expect, and he quit the show over it. Which I think is very sad. Especially in a kid's show, you want to sort of roll away from those kinds of things. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I don't remember when I read that. I came across that at some point. Found it kind of interesting. We are at 27 and a half minutes. And 27 and a half minutes... means that we're probably gonna close up the show, because that was what I don't have anything else to talk about. My things are pretty boring. Dead air. Anyway, you know, as usual, I want to thank you for pushing through nearly 30 minutes of podcast with me, your host, Aaron Ike, on the Aaron Ike Podcast. If you have feedback, if you have something you want to listen to, if you have something that you're interested in, you want me to talk about, send me feedback. The email address is, I think, feedback@aaronike.com. I think that's the one I have set up. Hang on, I'll find out. Yes, I was right. It is, in fact, feedback@aaronike.com. Is exactly where you can email me to give me feedback. Surprisingly enough, it's really interesting considering that it's not interesting at all. It's totally obvious. That's it for the Aaron Ike Podcast. Feedback is feedback@aaroneiche.com. AaronIke.com. Let me know what's going on, what you think, how you think this podcast is going, what you'd like to see different, topics you'd like to hear me talk about, what you think about my weird soda taste test on audio. And that's it. I will be back in another X number of days. With another podcast that hopefully will be interesting to listen to. Thanks again. Bye.
Thank you.